Well, hello there, everybody. This is welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. My name is Robert Winters, and today is August 18th, 2026. I've been getting into a little bit of a bad, sloppy habit of skipping every other one of these programs, but I'll try to do better in the future. So anyway, this is a midsummer or late summer right now, and I think in terms of just talking about some of the civic and political things around Cambridge. It's kind of the slow season, but there were not too long ago some pretty significant things that I think are worth talking about. But before doing that, I wanted to just mention a few quick things, little one-offs here, perhaps that are might be viewed as timely. So one of the things that happens every year about this time is Steve Buckley and others put together the Old Time Baseball Game, which is held up at St. Peter's Field. And there are three Red Sox former players will be playing there. I'm going to skip the first one of them because it's just not at the tip of my tongue right now, but I think Brock Holt and Lou Maloney is there, I believe, every year. But it's not just that. I mean, it's really just a good time for everybody. I'd have to say that there are certain events that are Cambridge events that where a lot of people who are kind of the townies, there's a really good percentage of like people who are born and raised here come to this particular event. And though I was not born and raised here, I am not a true Canterbridgian. I am an adopted Canterbridgian because they accept me. So these events tend to be very much like reunions for a lot of people. I am presuming that Glenn Kuchar will once again be doing the play-by-play announcements, and that the game will also be recorded and will be available, and I don't know, maybe on CCTV or some other venue as well. But really, it's much better to be there. I'm sure Ruthie or Ruth Ryan Allen from up at Patty's Lunch, she's always there with some of the family members in the bleachers, and it's just a great time. There's raffles. It's all done for charity, but they all wear their old baseball uniforms, and I suppose because this is a political season for state elections, let's not be too shocked if there are a few political people there, sort of trying to shake some hands, and I guess you don't kiss babies anymore, right? But who might very well be expected to be there, or at least the people who are, I would call, more genuine candidates will tend to be there. People who actually know people who were born and raised here, as opposed to some of the more flighty new candidates who probably, if they live in Cambridgeport, wouldn't even know the name of the streets in West Cambridge, just like I was once upon a time, quite frankly, a long, long time ago. But anyway, that's just 2 days from now, starting at 7 o'clock, and I always go. I mean, I would cancel almost anything just to be there because I get such a kick out of it. So anyway, so that's coming up. Another couple of little one-offs here, and we're going to sort of speak very close to home here, is that the process of, I like to say, the process of destroying Broadway is happening, at full speed ahead right now, which was the good part being the milling, scraping the old pavement down and repaving all of Broadway from, I guess, from around Portland Street all the way up to Harvard. So I guess it's nice to have the newly paved street, but of course the reason that all this was happening is for putting in the bike lanes. You could make a good case about there being some safety improvements in some places here, but I can absolutely show you some places where there is going to be some cra collisions, crashes, and let's not just focus on the inconvenience of loss of parking, but I already know people here just in this one section right in front of my house where a truck and a bus clipped mirrors because it just wasn't enough width in the road surface. And then this morning they were putting in the little white posts across the street from my house, right in front of the Longfellow School, to further narrow it so that you wouldn't even be able to have that little extra wiggle room. And now I honestly, I'll be shocked if a bus and a truck can even pass each other, in opposite directions on Broadway without clipping mirrors or doing something else like that. And, talk about comprehensive citywide planning. I mean, the elementary school, the Longfellow School is currently not being in full operation as an elementary school, though everybody in my neighborhood looks forward to the day when it will once again be an active elementary school. But right in front of there was where all the school buses would pull up. And not only the school buses, but if there was a field trip where a bus had to pull up in order to, take some kids to here, there, or wherever, they would pull up there. Also, there's Blue Bike Station directly across the street from my house. And every day, several times a day, a van comes up, a big van, and he, crashes open the door, plays the music very, very loud, and he moves bikes in and out to sort of rebalance the Blue Bike Stations. He's got nowhere to pull his truck up now. Because the silliness of the Cambridge's so-called transportation department now has obliterated any possibility for the blue bikes trucks to come to replenish the blue bikes. So I don't know what he's going to do. Or maybe he'll just drive up onto the sidewalk or block the intersection at Fayette Street and Broadway. Honestly, I just think some of our city departments aren't thinking at all. I also contacted them because they were putting those silly little white posts right in front of my house, and they located them exactly where the passenger side of a car door, passenger side door would open, so that if you pull up, and believe me, you do not want to have in the very narrow roadway, you do not want to be parked out beyond the edge of the little, marked off parking space. So people do pull up as close to those white posts as they can. You won't be able to get out of the car on that side. I mean, so I just said, could you just maybe move the posts so they're closer to the ends of the car rather than right where the passenger side door is? Nothing. This is a city who loves to talk about community engagement. They don't commute. Let's be clear. This city does not engage with the public on most of anything anymore. They basically do dog and pony shows, pretend to listen to people, and then do exactly what they were planning to do all along. And that's I would like to be civically involved, and I have been for decades. I don't even see the point anymore. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, so we'll see. Most of my neighbors are pretty much, we're just counting the days when they're going to start doing the paving from Lee Street up toward Harvard tomorrow, I think. We'll see. We're all pretty much counting the days for the first collision, and there's no point in even bringing it to the attention of the city officials because they'll pretend that that's not a possibility, just like they pretended like there have never been altercations with motor vehicles and those concrete barrier type bike lanes. They said, we only know of two instances of that anywhere. And I said, well, that's interesting since I've actually witnessed it twice myself, and you're telling me there's only been two instances. So this is the city's transportation department simply pays no attention to anybody. They think they know everything, and that's just all there is to it. It will be quite interesting at my particular intersection here. I'd hate to be making this all about me, right? But where Broadway meets Lee meets Fayette, they do not align. They're staggered. So when you come on Lee and you want to continue on to Fayette, you have to do a little bit of a zigzag. Well, right now they put these, they're well, they are about to put the posts right there in such a way that the only way you can do that is you have, so I have to go around the posts and then go like snake your way through. Now it's going to be especially interesting for the traffic coming down Broadway, down the little hill, and when they get there, and if you want to make a left on Fayette, ain't nobody going to be able to get past them. So during the hours when there's a lot of traffic coming the other direction, we're going to have a line of traffic all the way up to Ellery and beyond. Totally preventable. They're not listening. That's why I call them the Department of Congestion, Obstruction, and Aggravation, because really, I think that's a more appropriate name for our so-called Department of Transportation, really seriously. So, anyway, actually, before I get on to some other more serious things, I'll just sort of mention another one of the great frustrations of life in the big city here. So they're doing a lot of work on the building right next door to me, 368 Broadway. Behind the building there for years, there's like a little bit of an elevated deck in the back. And underneath that deck, there have been rats that have been living back there forever. And whenever there was rubbish put out around there, the rats would sort of come out from underneath the boards and gnaw their way into the food waste containers and the rubbish containers. And I mean, there have been times I look outside and I would see five very large rats sort of running around, and it's pretty disgusting. So anyway, they're rebuilding the whole building because they had a fire. So I asked the guy, I said, "Do you think maybe you can move that deck down to ground level so the rats can't live under it anymore?" And he said, "Well, that's what we wanted to do, but the owner says that his prospective tenant wants it to remain an elevated deck." I said, "But he's not going to enjoy all the rats." And the guy who's actually doing the work, who agrees with me 100%, saying, "I don't know if there's much of anything I can do about it." Meanwhile, all the rubbish containers had to be back there. They've said, "Well, the new occupant of the space apparently wants to have exclusive use of that whole back deck, which is where all the rubbish containers were." So they've now appeared right alongside my house, directly below my window. So once the residential units start getting occupied, I'm going to have stinky trash like 4 feet away from my window. And I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do about this. The owners, they don't listen to anybody. And so what am I going to be doing? Calling inspectional services every week and reporting violations. All of this is completely preventable, but you have property owners who absolutely refuse to listen to anybody. So I don't know. By the way, this is somewhat related to the ongoing discussion about the multifamily housing, where they wanted to reduce all these setbacks. If I didn't have such a short distance between me and my neighbor, which by let's face it, it dates back to 1920s or earlier. But in later iterations of zoning, they required greater setbacks, which was a good thing. So there isn't a whole lot of room there. So if people are going to be a little play fast and loose with things like where you put the rubbish and recycling containers, those setbacks are basically going to become the place where all the garbage is too. And this is creating conflicts. Well, certainly in my case, but this will be creating conflicts all around the city. So it's not just the aesthetics of having a four to six story building show up within arm's length of your kitchen window. It's also the fact that you're going to be having garbage outside your kitchen window too. Hey, what a wonderful new city we're creating, don't you think? Thank you, City Councilors. You've been so thoughtful in your planning and aesthetics. Really wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Okay, let's move on to a couple of other things here. A little less close to home, perhaps, but maybe not so far away. Without question, the big hot item of this summer was what happened after the June vote of the Cambridge City Council to eliminate the so-called ShotSpotter technology, which is just gunshot detection. That's all it is gunshot detection, out of what I consider to be absurd fears about excess surveillance and whatever. So anyway, they took that vote. There was a narrow vote, 5 votes to get rid of it, 2 wimpy votes to play vote present, and 2 was Ginny Simmons and Tim Flaherty just voted to retain ShotSpotter. So a little time passes, just really like less than 2 weeks, and then on July 4th, Xavier Batista was murdered down at Senate Park. And murders are tragic, but they do happen, thankfully, rather infrequently. And certainly when I went down there, I immediately saw on a post like 10 feet away from where his body was found, these notices, from the activist community arguing, "Don't you know ShotSpotter is listening here?" And the juxtaposition of where a man died and these take away gunshot by gunshot, juxtaposed with two posters saying get rid of gunshot detection, because we don't like Trump or we don't like ICE or whatever completely irrelevant argument that was being pushed out there by the DSA types. Anyway, that happened July 4th. There was a lot of reaction, including even for me, rather surprisingly, some editorials from the Boston Globe, basically saying, "What the hell were they thinking when they got rid of this?" And I have to agree, what the hell were they thinking when they got rid of this? Anyway, there was a, and again, I talked about this last month, but the there was a kind of a special community meeting over at the senior center, where people came out, and by and large, not universally, but by and large, people who were from that neighborhood and persons of color were coming out and saying, "What the hell did you take away ShotSpotter?" Nobody was saying it absolutely would have prevented anything or necessarily would have enabled this saving of this person's life due to a faster emergency response, but it may have. And basically, people felt that nobody ever asked them, the activists and the city councilors who somehow, in some crazy way, think that activists are representative of the community, which is completely bullshit. More on that later. They were anyway. The people who were at the meeting were pretty clear in their saying, "Well, why did you do this? And why did you take this away?" So it led to an August 3rd, the regularly scheduled special midsummer meeting of the city council, where actually, excuse me, there had been a special meeting in August 20th, July 23rd, I believe, where there was which I did not talk about in the last program because it was before the meeting, where there was orders from Tim Flaherty and Denise Simmons basically saying, oh, we think, especially in light of what had happened, that it is appropriate to bring back the ShotSpotter technology, at least on a provisional basis, until such time as some better technology or some more exhaustive evaluation could be done. And much to my delight, there seemed to be movement so that, well, the two councillors who had voted present were now going to vote in favor of this to actually restore. That would be Mr. Azim and Ms. Zuzi. And I didn't know if there was going to be any movement on the other councillors. But it certainly seemed as though Mark McGovern was going to vote in favor of temporary, nobody was saying at forever, right? But provisional restoration of the ShotSpotter system, for some period of time, right? When that, I'll be very, very straight up about this. As the votes, it became clear that there would be at least, if not only, five votes to basically restore the ShotSpotter provisionally. That's when basically Councillor Al-Zubi, who was the chair of the Public Safety Committee, who basically shepherded the whole get rid of ShotSpotter nonsense through, she just lost herself. I mean, she really lost herself. And then at the very end of the meeting, she just exercised her charter right, just because rather than just let the vote happen. And then Councillor Simmons responded by exercising her charter right on some of the other somewhat related orders that had been proposed that were a little bit more peripheral to the discussion. I mean, nobody's going to argue against better education, more affordable housing, and greater intervention, assisting people with mental crises and all those things here. But the idiocy, really, let's just call it what it is, the idiocy of the rhetoric was that somehow all of those nice initiatives were somehow going to prevent some jackass from Canton from putting a bullet into a man in Senate Park. I don't think they would necessarily have signed on to the de-escalation classes and the other wonderful outreach from our CARE program. All right. So honestly, all of those nonsense orders, even though I might have voted for all of them, right? But they were irrelevant to the matter at hand. So they got kicked out, and got kicked down the road on those as well. So anyway, all of this leads to an August 3rd, I believe it's August 3rd, yes, the Midsummer City Council meeting, where because of the charter right means it's your right under the charter to delay discussion or vote until the next regular meeting, and this was the next regular meeting. So all of those orders, especially that ShotSpotter one, were to come to a vote there. Now, in my view, the right thing to happen would have, you should have just put that order through as it stood. The one that was drafted by Councillors Simmons and Flaherty, which was very, very clear. You could put in an extra clause or two here or take out a clause if it made you feel happier. But what happened instead was something which I consider to be evasion. Okay, yes, they did take a vote that would, in fact, restore the ShotSpotter provisionally for, I believe, 90 days. It was a little bit unclear, but you provisionally restore it pending an appointment of a so-called resident assembly to take up the matter that would hopefully be more reflective of the whole community. Well, this was really kind of amazingly interesting to me because first off, the concept of a resident assembly, and by the way, that in the end, because it was that amendment to require this basically so that, we're councillors, we're supposed to be taking a vote, including hard votes. We'd rather not because of politics. So let's pitch it to the city manager to form a resident assembly to come back and tell us what to do. What the hell? Why don't we just disband the city council and just hire a resident assembly to be the city council if that's the way we want to do business, right? Or just let's have our elected officials just be chosen at random like we pick jurors, which I'm starting to think might actually be better than the system that we have right now at all levels of government, quite honestly. Anyway, so what's supposed to happen is the ShotSpotter. I just heard today that it actually has been put back into effect, so it's operational again. And then the city manager and one of its community engagement people are somehow supposed to pull a rabbit out of the hat and come up with some purely representative way. I mean, this is almost like we need the founding. Let's just bring the founding fathers back from the dead and have them reinvent a way of doing government here. So that's what they're supposed to come up with a thoroughly representative and impartial group of 30 or more people in order to debate and listen to all the facts. But by the way, all of this has to happen within 90 days. Ain't gonna happen. But yeah, I guess the bigger observation I would make here is that, when you have a elected group, they are supposed to be our resident assembly. And I'll have to give credit to Councillor Azeem. In the midst of all this thing where some of these relatively clueless councillors were talking about representativeness, of which they don't understand at all, Councillor Azeem, young Mr. Azeem, he said, well, I kind of aren't, I look at upon us as the resident assembly. Don't you think we should just be the resident assembly and listen to the people and learn and act accordingly as their representatives? And I'm thinking to myself, well, can't argue with that logic. I think that's the whole idea of representative government, isn't it? So for councillors, again, the amendment was drafted by councillors McGovern and Siddiqui, to basically let's ask the city manager to go find a representative group to take up this issue about the either reinstating the ShotSpotter on a longer term basis or getting rid of it or whatever. To me, it's so like you're basically jettisoning your responsibility as elected officials to take a hard vote, fundamentally. That's the way I saw it. But I suppose I should say, since I was in favor of them restoring the ShotSpotter, I should be happy and say that, okay, it's working again. And so maybe if there is a gunfire incident, maybe maybe it can be helpful. And by the way, let me just say, I mean, I don't mean to just go on and on forever about ShotSpotter because it's not really the be all end all. I don't think anybody, first off, nobody has ever claimed that this technology was going to prevent gun violence, because all it does is it reacts. It hears when there is gunshots and reports it so that you can get a response back there, right? Either police response or ambulance response or what have you. But also it enables you to get there in time to collect evidence in a timely way that may be helpful down the road for a prosecution. And by the way, one of the people who spoke at this meeting, I guess it was at August 3rd, was Dave Solette, who is running against Marion Ryan for district attorney. And he'd actually put something, he'd been quoted in the newspaper about the effectiveness of the ShotSpotter technology in cases he's prosecuted, as part of his current job. So, or recent job, specifically in Chelsea. So anyway, maybe we should all be happy that it's sort of in place here. But the truth is that, it's just a tool. It's not the tool. I wouldn't be at all surprised if there's some, bright young man or woman at MIT who could probably come up with an even better system. And if so, let's adopt that and we can displace ShotSpotter from that, But just getting rid of a technology because a bunch of activists told you a bunch of bullshit about how it was listening in on your conversations and I mean stuff that just is just patently absurd. And then our elected officials just basically swallowed that bait, hook, line, and sinker. It's like, yeah, oh well, the community has told us this. No, the community didn't tell you this at all. Stephanie Grahn told you this, or the little ladies from the Cambridge Residence Alliance told you this, and you took it as truth, but it ain't truth. And it was never truth, and it'll never be truth.